Welcome to the Digital Agency Pros Podcast with Andrew McBurney, your host of Digital Agency Pros. In this podcast, we sit down and talk to CEOs, founders, and professionals in the marketing world and talk shop all things related to building an agency and marketing. All right, let's get into it.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode, and today we have Jeremy, who is a world-class marketing expert and leader that has led multiple companies to the Inc. 5000 and Inc. 500 award. He has built high-performing teams that achieve stellar results, and he's now helping B2B entrepreneurs to expand their business and help more people. All right, let's get into it.
Hey Jeremy, welcome to the show. I'm happy to have you here.
Hey Andrew, awesome to be here, man.
Awesome. So to kick it off, why don't you tell us a bit about how you got to where you're at in your current company?
Sure. Yeah. So, I want to go all the way back to the beginning, but my last big journey, I started about 7 years ago at a consulting company, almost exactly 7 years ago, in the healthcare space. I had just come back from LA. I'd spent a year there in school, and I was looking for a job. I found this job and I'm like, okay, I need a job. And it was a startup. And, so I was like employee number three, and I was just like, okay, cool. This seems fun and exciting. And, I'd have to say I got really lucky because, when I started there, business was probably doing about $500,000. Having been there that long, I know that now. When I left, earlier this year, did about 12 million. So nice rocket ride there. And when I left, we had about 40 employees. So for me, it was interesting because I started off as a sales assistant, kind of switched around doing literally anything. You know, in a startup world, you kind of just kind of go, okay, what's needed today? So I started off in sales. I did finance. I learned QuickBooks and writing checks and paying bills. And then HR, hiring people, firing people, all that good fun stuff. And then fell into marketing and really fell in love with marketing because I was like, I remember sending my first email blast to a list. We had built a list. And I was like, oh my God, hundreds of people are opening my email. That's amazing. You know, I was just like, oh, this is it. They had me hooked at that point. I was like, impact, you know, it was just that impact you can drive out of marketing is you can reach, you can communicate with hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, or millions of people. So I helped them build their marketing department and then kind of got myself promoted, hired, and did all that kind of thing. So the last 2.5 years, I was their COO. And then earlier this year, I started my own marketing agency.
Nice. I love that. And so correct me if I'm wrong here. So you were at that startup for about 6 or 7 years?
Yep.
That's awesome. And that sounds like a big journey that would have really given you a lot of experience to jump into that entrepreneurial seat. Where, cause like, that's one thing I found whenever I started out my business, I was like, oh, I didn't know I had to do taxes and like all this stuff. Right. And it's like, I kind of got into it and I was like, I thought it was just about helping people with their marketing. And, it was a bit of a bumpy ride for me. My first year, as I was kind of like, oh, I should be paying attention to that. And I'm getting letters from the government and like, oh, like I gotta be doing that thing and all that fun stuff. Right. So it sounds like you were able to wear a lot of hats in that experience. Now, before, I know you don't want to go all the way back to the beginning, but how did you get qualified to get hired by a startup? I'm always curious.
Well, I mean, this was, there were literally no qualifications. At $10 an hour, you really don't have to be that qualified. Mm-hmm. But I was a sales assistant. I had, you know, some experience. It's funny. I had worked at a school for 6 years before that. So worked at school for 6 years. And then I went to LA and business degree, associate's degree in business application. Mm-hmm. And then I came back and it was a networking kind of thing and introduced myself, presented myself well. They liked me. I mean, it was funny. I remember it because I walk in, I'm all suited up. I'm like, oh, I really want this job. and I meet, there's the board of directors, the owners of that business. There's six owners. And I met with all of them. So I walk in, and they're all dressed super casual, right? Like one's in a Hawaiian shirt, like shorts, like everybody's super casual. I'm all like suited up and they're all asking me questions, right? They're like, okay, what would you do for this? Or what would you do for that? And I mean, it was me and one other person that I didn't meet, but they told me like, yeah, we like you. And so I was like, cool, I'll take the job. So, I think luck has a part to do with it. I think a willingness, like my dad told me not to take the job because it was only $10 an hour. So I was like, yeah, okay, well, I need money. And I think there's an opportunity here, right, to learn. Because part of it was because you had that board of directors and they were actively participating in the business and they had previous business experiences. They'd each built like a multi-million dollar business, nothing as big as this business particularly wound up becoming, but they all had experiences in the past. So I think, I think there's a risk when you go looking for a job at a small business because it really depends on the owner. Like, is this their first small business? Are they looking to go big? And what are their actions, right? Like, what's the trend, right? So for someone, like if you're going to a small business and they've been sitting at, I don't know, let's say $700,000 a year for the last 6 years, you're like, cool, well, you're obviously not growing. Why would I join you, right? Like, you're not going to be joining somebody that's growing. For them, they were growing and they had previous business experience where they were like, look, we've built multi-million dollar businesses before. Not that I knew the questions to ask at that point. I mean, I was 23 at the time. So like, I was just like, I need money. Yeah. I don't want to live with my parents, you know? So there's that aspect of it. But I think if somebody's like, okay, if you're looking to get into the startup world, it's like, okay, not necessarily tech startup because I think that's its own beast and animal. And I'm like, I don't have that experience, but I think if you're going and looking for like, okay, small businesses that are hiring and looking for people and you just go, okay, great. Is this your first business? No. Okay, great. How big was your previous business? Oh yeah, it was this much. Or if it is their first business, great. What are the stats? You know, like, oh, well, we grew from one employee to three employees. Okay, great. Well, in what time frame? And how much money are you making? And what are your goals, right? Like, not just the fluffy goals. Like, people are like, oh, yeah, I want to build a $1 million business. Like, cool. Well, what are your stats? Oh, well, we went from 100,000 to 150,000 last year. You're like, okay. You know, it's like, it's not fast enough. Anyways, does that answer that question?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's an important thing, even as a marketing agency, right? If you're bringing on somebody who's stagnated for the last 5 years, it might speak to certain issues in the business that can't be solved with marketing, right? It might be that the owner is a control freak and everything gets bottlenecked there. And it's just like, it just doesn't allow for growth. Or maybe there's not enough senior leadership to actually move different initiatives along. And I think that's an interesting thing to really consider when either you're looking to join an initiative or work with somebody, right? Because whenever you take on that marketing agency as a client, you're in a pretty close relationship at that point, especially as the bills get bigger for the company. They really want to know what you're up to and what you're doing for them, right? So that's really cool. I think that's a great way to really get a lot of experience and then make that jump. And I think it's a really cool idea to even do that. I've never really considered it through the lens of a startup. Now, in your current business, where is your focus, right? So obviously you help B2B companies get more leads, right? Where does your relationship with them end, right? Like, are you helping them gain like a warm lead through an email or a LinkedIn conversation or through a funnel? Like, is this like a booked appointment on their calendar? Are you involved in the sales processes at all? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, so it depends. I think, you know, my ideal scene is I work with businesses that probably are doing at least $1 million a year. I've taken on smaller clients, but my viewpoint is I'm fully responsible for the client to make money. Now, that doesn't always mean that I will actually have a touch point in each of those aspects. Sometimes they're like, look, Jeremy, I just want you to get me leads. And oftentimes, I'll be honest, I know that that relationship won't necessarily work out perfectly unless they really have a strong sales process, a strong follow-up process. But my ideal scene is I'm at every single touch point. Like, I'm helping with the lead generation. I'm helping with the branding. I'm helping with the email follow-up. I'm helping with the sales process in the sense of, like, one of my services that I offer is with CRMs, right? Like, I'm a CRM consultant. I'm a certified partner with HubSpot. I'm trained under with Keep or Infusionsoft, as it used to be known. You know, so I want to make sure that, because I know at the end of the day, if the clients aren't making money with me from the leads I'm generating and they're not expanding and doing well, at the end of the day, the relationship's not going to work out. So because no matter if the client doesn't blame you, right, they're still, they can't pay you, right? Like, if they're not making more money, they're going to be like, well, crap, I can't pay you. So even if you as an agency owner, I think, feel like, hey, look, I'm getting you leads, you're not closing them. Okay, that's fine. You can say that. And it's part of the conversation I have is like, look, if I'm not controlling every aspect of the sales process, I do tell the clients, like, look, my responsibility is to get you leads of a certain caliber, and then the responsibility goes on to you to close them. But I like, and you saw this on my website, is I like to be results-based marketing. Like, I charge by results. And for me, you know, as I'm learning and growing, is I'm seeing that my ideal scene is that I'm actually connected directly to the client's revenue. So as the client succeeds and wins, I succeed and win with them. And if the client isn't succeeding and winning, then why should I be making a bunch of money as an agency owner, even if I'm doing my part, right? It's sort of, God, I don't even know how to say it. It's like if you're a great salesperson, you sell a product, but then delivery never delivers the product, and they always ask for a refund. At a certain point, you should take responsibility and go like, hey, guys, I can't keep selling more than you can deliver, because we're going to keep getting refunds, right? Like, at a certain point, you have to go take that responsibility beyond just your narrow focus. And that's one of the things I did at the startup, is like, every time the board or the executives were like, hey, who can handle blah? I just said, yeah, I'll handle it. Who can get us a printer? I'm like, sure, I'll figure out how to lease us a printer. Not part of my sales function whatsoever, but I'll do it, right? So, you know, I think anybody, so I just wanted to circle back to that for a second. Like, if you're younger and you're trying to figure out, hey, I want to go start my own agency, like, yeah, go work for a small business, but be like, make sure you say yes to opportunities, right? And even if it's not your job, it's like, go do it, because you're going to learn so much. Like, I know how to use QuickBooks. I don't have to hire a bookkeeper just yet, because I actually know about QuickBooks enough, and I know enough about HR to figure out a basic hiring and onboarding process. So as I expand my team, it's not like I'm completely lost in all of the processes.
I love that. And I think that's one thing that gets lost on a lot of agencies, because a lot of courses out there that people take, they focus too much on scope creep. And there's a difference, I think, in being a solution-based company and being too anal when it comes to scope creep, right? And at the end of the day, any business is in the business of solving problems. It's the only reason we get paid for what we do, right? If we didn't solve a problem, you didn't get any money, right? And especially when you're serving small businesses or business in general, right? In any type of business. And having that mentality, I think, is so important, especially in those early days, whether you're an employee or a small business owner and you're trying to make a name for yourself, because people are going to remember that. They're not going to remember the idea that it's like, oh, like, I came to them with this problem, or we had this problem that we perceived to be there, like, coming from them, and they were just like, hey, figure it out. That's not us, right? And it's a cool way to really stand out from the pack, in my opinion, and while also managing client expectations and, of course, scope creep, right? Because in any company, whether it's like a marketing agency or lead generation or whatever, anytime you're kind of like working with those clients, sometimes they accidentally ask for more than what they paid for, right? And they don't know it. They're not experts. They're just, you're helping them, right? And so, like, one thing I did in the early days of running an SEO company is, like, you bring on that retainer client, and then we have our systems and our processes. We've already done the pre-screening. We've already qualified them as a good client, and they know how we work, right? And regardless of how that process happens, there's always going to be that point in time where they're like, hey, can you do X, right? And it's like not at all related to what we do, and it's like completely outside of the scope of what we do, right? And so in the early days, it was a simple no, and we would just move on, right? And then what we learned is like, oh, if we just say yes and then reaffirm what those boundaries are, and this is actually outside of the scope of what we were doing, but we did it anyways because we don't want to leave you hanging and yada, 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 we could still kind of build that relationship where it's like, hey, we're here to do this, let's do this, and not worry about those other things while still continuing to build that rapport. Now, in your agency, so your model, just so that we're totally clear, you're not necessarily selling marketing retainers, more so you're selling leads. Is that correct?
It's a little bit of both. So I try to position it as like, I will charge a base fee. It covers my overhead. I make no profit on that. It's just sort of like, I got to cover my bare minimum with that. Mm-hmm. And then it's results. So whether that's leads, appointments, or revenue, I'll work with clients on all those aspects. Some clients are willing to pay by lead. Some want to pay by scheduled appointment, and some will pay by, look, if we hit our revenue targets, then you'll get a piece of that pie, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll work with all of those things. And that's sort of the upside. Because my viewpoint is, like most agencies, I think this is my pitch to clients anyways, is I go, look, most agencies, like if you promise this, the agency will deliver slightly more, make sure you're happy so they don't lose you as a client. Mm-hmm. But whether you're doing this well or this well doesn't really matter to them other than, yeah, maybe they'll get a referral or something like that. But realistically, they just need to keep you slightly happier than what they expect or what they're paying for to keep them as a client. Versus with me, look, you'll pay me a lot less. And the more you win, the more I win with you. So I have an incentive, right? I'm incentivized to make them lots and lots of money financially, which at the end of the day, I think, yes, we can say we're altruistic. We have higher intentions. We always want to make sure every client is happy and winning and succeeding. But at the end of the day, we need money to survive. And so if we can make the client money, that just aligns the focus. Also on leads, you know, because I mean, I've run into this where I charge a client by lead and then, you know, we're a month into it and we're like, crap, we're like the client didn't have the infrastructure to follow up on all the leads. I accidentally blew a campaign out of the park. I didn't even like I was getting $2 leads and the client was running at $10 a day, right? Like super cheap campaign. And they just weren't ready for all the leads or all the follow up. So we're like, they were getting wasted. So he was upset with me that I'm charging him for all these leads. And I was like, look, let's switch it up. Let's change it to revenue. Let's make sure you're making money off your leads. And he was fine. So right. Yeah, I think I answered your question.
Yeah, you did. Absolutely. And I love that. I like how you're bolting your success potential right onto the side of their success potential. And you're growing together ultimately.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing with scope creep, like I've had that experience too, where clients are like, hey, can you handle this? And I'm like, sure, it's not part of our original agreement. Yeah, and it depends. If it's a small little thing, I'll do something like you said. But then other times I'm like, great, this is an opportunity for an upsell, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is where I look at, and of course you have to be good at that, right? Like you can't offer services that you're not really good at.
Right.
So I try to outsource those aspects of it. It's like, look, you know, like I don't currently really build websites. I'll do a one-off here or there, but that's not really my skill set. And I'll go, look, there's another company I know, I'll refer you over to them. And of course I build vendor agreements there so that I have a cash flow off of it.
I love that. That's a great idea. Now in terms of your marketing or your pricing, sorry, you've got, I got your website open here, I'm looking at it. So you got I got a few questions here. You have six different options. The first one's called Startup and it's actually at $0 a month. What's your angle in terms of your own business growth there? Like what types of companies are you looking to work with on that plan?
You know, my ideal scene is a client doing probably $1 million a year. They've got somewhere between 4 to 10 employees up to, you know, if they're doing $5 to $10 million a year in revenue, in actual revenue, right? Like you've got construction where it's $100 million business, but they're actually only making $5 million or something. So something along those lines is my ideal client. And my idea is I want to get their foot in the door. And I want to make sure, like you see the pricing there, it goes all the way from free to $5,000 a month plus a significant upside, you know, $100 a lead there. So my intention was like, look, I want to make sure that you have, like, you come to the website, you're not like, oh my God, this isn't a fit for me. So the idea is like, hey, look, let's get started. Let's start the relationship somewhere. Let's get you going. Let me add value to you on the front end, and then let's build that relationship. Like, one of my biggest clients right now, I started with a $500 a month to just run some basic Facebook ads, and then we added Google ads, and then we added SEO, and then we added a CRM project, and then we added consulting hours on top of it. So it was just like, okay, let's start the relationship somewhere.
I like that. Smart. I did something similar. I didn't charge nothing for it, but I charged, like, depending on the size of the company, right? If it was a large company, I would charge more, smaller company less, just because if you try to sell like a $50 widget to a multi-million dollar company, they're probably going to laugh you off the phone call. Basically, and it's funny because it's the first thing on your kind of your feature list, is Facebook remarketing. It was one of the most successful foot in the doors that, that I ever sold. And it was great because it would build all these relationships, and we did it with other things too, whether it was like reputation, analytics, deep dives were actually a big thing, setting up an email marketing CRM, like all that sort of stuff where it's like, not necessarily results-based. It's more so just like, this is going to help you. You might as well do it. It's going to cost you $50. And then it forms that transactional relationship where it gave us the opportunity to be like, hey, we said we were going to do this. And not only did we do it, we went above and beyond. It was an amazing experience for you. We were really in touch the whole time. And now we have access to the decision makers. We know that they have a credit card. That's important. Like all those things, right? And and it also gave us the opportunity to work with people who may not be a good fit, right? And see that before jumping into like a $2,000 a month commitment where you're very, very tied to them. Now, in terms of your, so when I think of B2B sales specifically, I think of two aspects. One is generating the interest, and then the other is nurturing it, right? And I suppose those two things, depending on how you do it, right? Like you can send out very direct funnels to say, hey, we got this thing. Would you like help with it? In which case, like you're basically doing both at the same time. But then there's a lot of lead campaigns out there where it's like, hey, we're like opt-in here for this ebook, right? And the lead, they might be qualified prospects, but they may not even know what you do. They haven't engaged in that capacity. Whenever you're running your campaigns, what focus are you doing, or does it change based on the type of campaign?
Good question. I like ebooks generally. That tends to be a successful thing for me, especially for clients that have the ability to work with time, right? Because if you've got an ebook, that person's not looking to close tomorrow. Right? So I'd say there's circles, right? There's a circle of people, smallest circle. They're looking to close, like they're looking for somebody right now. And yeah, you should be running Google ads for them, right? For people looking for your exact service, like make sure that you're a match there. But then outside of that is that bigger bucket of people that are like, yeah, you know, I'm a qualified prospect. At some point I'll need X, Y, Z, right? Like if we take with a marketing agency, we go, okay, good. There's people that are looking for a marketing agency today because they fired the other one, right? They're like, okay, who should I work with now, right? They're either looking for a referral, they're Googling it, they're searching maybe Facebook groups, but they're looking for someone that is a marketing agency that they can trust and move on to. But then the next bucket out is people that are like, well, I've got a marketing agency. I'm pretty happy with them. They're doing their job, you know, yada, yada, yada. It's like, okay, cool. But they're not closed to at some point in the future. They know that agencies don't always work out and whatever else. And maybe they're growing. And so they need a new service or they need something different. And so they're open to it. So that's where that ebook bucket falls in. So, short answer is both, kind of depends on budget and personnel. So if it's a bigger business and they've got, you know, appointment setters, they've got a salesperson, they've got a solid CRM, they have some content already, it's like, yeah, good, let's optimize your funnel. You know, if you're a little earlier, you're probably going like, look, I just need some clients, right? It's like, I need some clients to grow my business. They're on the smaller end, they're only doing 250 or, you know, $200,000, you know, a year. So you're like, okay, well, how can we get you clients fast?
Right.
Because it's sort of like SEO. Like I think SEO is completely and utterly valuable, but not when you start your business. Like, only in the sense of like, I started my business now 4 months ago, and I'm doing SEO, I'm doing press releases, I'm getting backlinks, I'm doing all of that, and I have made $0 from it. Mm-hmm. I am not surviving on SEO, but the reason I'm investing in SEO is because I know my long-term game is like, I'm going to build a massive company, mm-hmm. and I know SEO is going to be a big part of that. If I invest now, at some point, 12 months from now, mm-hmm. I'm going to start getting that traffic. Mm-hmm. That I need and want, that's far down the road. So when you're working with smaller businesses, small local businesses that are just getting started out, I mean, I don't know, maybe correct me wrong. Maybe I'm like going completely counter what you pitch with people on SEO.
But... No, I'm 100% with you. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Anyway, so... I'm a big believer in, you sell the services that they need to benefit from, or you send them away to somebody else if you can't help them, right? Like, there's been many people that have approached me over the years and being like, hey, I need help with my marketing. They approach me as a marketing professional. I may happen to only sell SEO, but you look at it and as a service, like a vendor, you know what they're going to benefit from if you are kind of know a bit about everything, right? It's like, oh, yes. They actually need AdWords, or they need YouTube, or they need email, or they need Facebook or whatever. And in my opinion, it's your ethical obligation to send them in the right direction or serve them because you are the best fit for them. And at the end of the day, unless that's part of their specific business model, maybe they have investors behind them, they know what they're doing, but it was just a typical small business, that's not a good spot to start with your marketing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, in terms of, let's say that you're running, like, this is something that a lot of agencies run into and a lot of businesses in general. It's like you have your lead list and you have your customer list. Those are two very different types of leads, right? That you can market to and you can upsell, and they'll have very different transaction rates. Now, when it comes to, everybody has a lead magnet these days, right? Especially agencies, because they're savvy about that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of them don't really know what to do with the leads that come in because they really focus on generating leads on the front end versus the CRM, the email marketing, the automations, maybe the remarketing sequences that happen behind the scenes to turn those people from interested in a subject to interested in a product, understanding that they have that problem that needs solved, understanding the company can solve it for them, and then becoming that customer. So what are you doing to say, like, if you're bringing people in on an ebook, what efforts are you or actions are you taking to turn them into a customer or a qualified lead who's like, hey, I need to talk to you guys. Like, let's set a demo or let's set an appointment or call me or whatever.
Yeah. So, for me, a big thing has just been content creation. Like, for me, literally, I put my calendar together every single morning. I block off 45 minutes to create content. Mm. So I think I'm at like 40 blogs or 50 blogs already. Mm. So part of that is get somebody in the door, educate them, right? Mm. Like, especially if you've got a complicated subject, and literally, I don't know that there's too many simple subjects left. Like, I don't know, I guess if you're selling your car wash, I don't know how many blogs you're going to write about washing cars. I mean, there's still like products and like what's shining and what shines tires. I mean, like anything, you can really dive into answering people's questions. And so I think if somebody gets your ebook, it's the beginning of a relationship where you try to then get them to take the next step. So for me, are you familiar with Ryan Dice and Digital Marketer? Yeah. So I love his customer value journey, right? So for me, that ebook opt-in, so you've got awareness, engagement, you know, so they're aware they exist, you exist, they engage with your ad, then they opt into an ebook. Okay, good. What's that first conversion, right? Like, whether that's, like you said, getting on the phone, booking a demo, doing these other things. So for me, that's like, okay, good. Now, let me get you to opt. You got the first ebook. Here's another ebook. Here's a third ebook. Now there's a webinar. It's a pre-recorded webinar, right? Like, I'm bouncing them around on different assets if I have them, right? And if I don't, I call them. I research them. Or I go old school. I write them a letter. If I find out they're qualified. So there's, you know, obviously I'm not going to spend all that money and effort on unqualified unless I can automate, let's say, the emails. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I try to get them to take that next action. So for me, you know, a big part of me has been figuring out a good product suite. So like you'll see on my website, I have multiple different things under free, right? So if they're running Google ads, I'm like, look, I've got a tool. It'll filter out bot traffic, spam, and competitors, and I'll do it for free, Now it costs me money. It literally costs me money to do that, but I'm already paying that overhead. So I can split it amongst many customers so they don't have to buy the tool themselves. And so I can give them that as a value add. I can do retargeting, you know, right? I actually need to add this. I just added this, like a little mini SEO audit I'll do for free, right? Like I'll do a little basic one, not a full one. A full one's like $500 or something. So I try to get them to take that next step and engage with me or with the client, right? Like I'll go, okay, good. Here, you know, you've got these leads now. Are you sending an email every week? No. Okay. We need to send an email every single week with some sort of content, even if you're recycling, you know, that's where you get into, yeah, lead generation, but you should have content generation and emails and ideally a sales team that's actually calling leads and researching leads and doing those kinds of things.
Yeah. I love that. That's smart. That's cool. And then in terms of your kind of like your journey, your growth trajectory, where do you want to go? Like, are you currently working with a team? Do you have a team supporting you? Is it more of like a solopreneur situation? And are you looking to kind of grow into like a traditional agency setting or go more the one-man consultancy route, which can be just as profitable? What's your idea on that?
Yeah, so I've got a, you know, very small ambition to build a $1 billion company with a B. So I have the reality now, having been in a business that's gone from $500,000 to $12 million, and I've seen the mistakes that are made. I've seen the growth points. I've seen the different things that happen, and I've learned a ton, right? Like towards the end, the company brought in a new private equity group that that person had built sold $150 million business. Is, you know, now building a new business, a consulting business. So I learned a ton there on just like, okay, what are the potentialities? So for me, definitely not a one man show is my goal right now. So I'm still relatively new. So I am there. Like, I mean, my numbers are pretty good. Like I did, you know, 4,000 my first month, 9,000, then 22,000. Last month was slightly down, but you know, it's like I've got a lot of prospects. I'm doing fulfillment for a Fortune 500 company that opened up their own agency, so it's like I've got opportunities coming my way, which I'm happy about. So for me, my goals are, you know, I have certain stable data that I really like, which is, for every employee, you should be making about $20,000 a month to be really profitable. So for me, my target is, okay, let me consistently get to 20,000 plus set aside 3 months of reserves for employee number one. So like I'm looking to hire high caliber people that I'm excited to work with. I know a lot of owners I've met are all like, okay, let me get as cheap of labor as possible. For me, I have a slightly different viewpoint. I've read a lot of books on how Google operates or Amazon or things like that. And the viewpoint there is you want to work with people that you're excited to work with, that really have talent and that are really looking to create and have a big vision and goals. So for me, I'm looking at like high caliber, $80,000, $100,000 a year. So part of that is like, okay, good. Now I'm excited. I'm excited to work with people and grow the business to a point where, you know, it's not only $250,000 a year per employee, it's $400,000 or $500,000. And, you know, that gives you the margin to hire great talent, gives you the margin to grow your business so that you're not stuck, you know, continuously managing the business. Because my ultimate vision is I want to donate a ton of money, you know, to charity, right? Like at the end of the day, I want to have an impact on entrepreneurs. I have a vision statement somewhere, but basically I have this idea and I don't even know if it's realistic, but I want to help entrepreneurs be able to start their business and start making money, like up to 100,000 without having to spend money. Like I want to make entrepreneurship easier. Not that it's ever going to be easy, right? But I think if somebody, you know, if you've got a marketing partner, like eventually my goal is that my base fee is $0. And I'm only results based, and you only pay me a piece of what the revenue you make. But I can only do that once I've perfected the science of the advertising. And there's always going to be competition. Things are always going to change. But once I have a formula, I think for particular niches, I think I'll be able to roll that kind of service out.
Yeah. And that's so important to have a high quality offer that actually stands out, whether it's a money back guarantee, whether it's results based, whether it's like, hey, if we don't hit this target and this time will work for free, that lacks in the agency world. And yeah, hearing you talk about that's exciting, because some of the biggest, most successful agency owners that I know exclusively run by that model. They only run results based. They only win when their clients win at the end of the day. So that's really interesting. It sounds like you have a lot of plans and you're executing on it. Now, when it comes to executing entrepreneurial dreams and really being in the thick of it, managing it all, it can be tough, right? There's whether it's the financial, the emotional stress, the physical stress, the mental stress. There's a lot of different areas that might start getting fatigued that maybe didn't get fatigued before when you're working a 9-to-5 job and you didn't really have to think about a lot of things, and it was just kind of taken care of by somebody else who had to worry about that, right? Yeah. How do you cope with and make sure that you don't burn out or degrade your performance or fall behind on maybe deliverables or get disorganized on things? Is that something you pay attention to, or is it just something that naturally comes to you?
Well, definitely it hasn't been natural. I think for me, I've gone through a lot of personal growth through the last few years. You know, so for me, I think there's this famous quote, right? Like CEOs of big businesses, they read an average of what, 30 books a year or something like that. And the average American reads less than one, and most of that's romance novels. You know, so for me, I know I've gone through a lot of growth from when I was making $10 an hour to the last couple of years as COO. Like, I read a ton of books. And I think one of the biggest subjects that I really, that made a big difference to me was Atomic Habits. Maybe you've heard of James Clear.
I ran a mastermind locally here before COVID hit, and one of the members wouldn't shut up about that book. So it's on my list, but I haven't actually got around to it yet.
Okay. It's amazing. It's one of those, I've read it twice now, and I've recommended it to everybody. It's most impactful book that I've read in years. And it's, the basic premise is just like, God, okay, I'm trying to summarize a whole book. But so, you know, everybody wants to win the championship, right? Like everybody, like if you're like right now, I don't know, whatever, let's stay American here. So football, everybody wants to win the Super Bowl. Okay, good. So the goal doesn't change based on the team. It's really the actions that make the difference. So why are we focused on the goal? Not that the goal is unimportant. Really, the focus should be on the actions you take every day. And if you can improve those on a daily basis, right? If you can get 1% better every day, you wind up being, I think, 37 times better by the end of the year. So you literally can improve 1% a day for 365 days. Like imagine you start with 10 push-ups and then you do 10.01 push-up or whatever it is, right? Like not that that's really possible, but every day you're getting that incremental improvement. And so he gives amazing examples of like sports teams and businesses that just improve incrementally on all of their underlying actions to make themselves better. And the same thing with your own personal life. So like for me, I've had a lot of trouble with video games and Netflix, like I think any other person. I don't know about video games, but Netflix, Prime, you know, you know, watching videos or whatever. So for me, a lot of it has been learning self-control of like, okay, good. You know, how can I improve my own performance? How can I control my own behavior, my own actions and things like that? And a lot of the book tells you how to make that easier, right? Just make it less apparent. Uninstall the app. Right. So I did that for a while. Every time I watched Netflix, I had to reinstall the app so I could watch Netflix. And then I would uninstall Netflix at the end of it, just because it adds a little bit of friction to your life. So you don't, it's just like, you're like, ah, it's just not worth it. It's like, ah, screw it. I just won't install it right now. Right. Or getting onto Facebook or Instagram and getting distracted with all those kinds of things. So I think there's a lot of personal growth that anyone has to go through. Look, if you just dive into it and you start your own agency, I'm like, all the better for you. It's like, but you have to make that commitment to improve yourself continuously, whether that's reading books or surrounding yourself with amazing people or going to conferences. And I do have to say, I've had more highs and lows since I started my agency than ever as an employee. You know, as an employee, you do have that sort of relevant confidence that you're going to continue to get paid. As long as your manager's happy, you've got a job. As long as the business isn't going under, you've got a job. You know, which is, it's false, right? Like it's relatively false because businesses do go under. You can't fully control what your manager thinks. You can get fired at any point. but it doesn't feel that way, right? Like as an employee, you feel like you've got security. And as an entrepreneur, you're like, okay, who am I closing? Where's my money coming from? Can I pay my bills? So I've definitely, like, I've had days where I'm like, dang it, two people just dropped that I thought were going to close. And then the next day, one of them came back and it became a bigger package. And then blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like all those emotions. So, so my recommendations here are one, improve daily. Like this is also your health. Make sure you're eating healthier. I do recommend Atomic Habits. Two, I write down my goals every morning. So I have a Google Doc. I write down the date. And I write down my dreams, my vision. Sometimes it's small. Sometimes I'm like, look, I just want to lose a pound today. Or sometimes I'm like, yeah, you know, I really want the Tesla Roadster when it comes out. You know, like I want the Founders Edition. I want it this color. I'm going to spend this much money on it. I want to be able to pay cash for it. Just go 0 to 60 in under 1 second or 1.1 second is whatever it is, you know, these days. So, so I think habits. You know, morning routines or evening routines, writing down your goals. I think that's super helpful. And I think it's surrounding yourself with other great people. One of the things that I did, have you heard of Grant Cardone? Okay, so I buy a lot of it. I follow a lot of his training. I listen to Cardone University every morning. That's part of my morning routine is I just go, the guy thinks big, right? Like no matter what, the guy thinks big. And a lot of the networking groups I've visited, they don't think big. They, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, I've got an $80,000 business and I'm happy. I mean, I actually did a podcast with somebody else and I kept, you know, she was saying, yeah, you know, these are business owners that have been in business for 5 years. So my thought was like, oh, okay, so they're $1 million business owners at least, right? Or maybe 5 million. And she told me, no. It's two at the end after the podcast was over, told me it was only 200,000, right? And she's like, that's very normal. That's to be expected after 5 years is 200,000. And I was like, that's not real to me. That's not, I can't accept that as a truth. Like I get it might be true, but I think if you have this vision of like, oh, it's going to take me 5 years to build a $200,000 business, then you're going to take 5 years to build a $200,000 business. But if you surround yourself with people that are like, yeah, man, I went from zero to making $20,000 recurring revenue a month in 3 months, or, you know, you watch Undercover Billionaire, right, where they all three of them built $1 million businesses in 90 days. Have you seen that or heard of that show at all?
I think I've heard of it. I haven't seen it, though.
Yeah, so it's basically these three billionaires that go undercover, like they shave their head or they change their look or whatever else. They go into the cities they've never been to. They get $100, a used truck, and a cell phone with no contacts. And they're told to go build a $1 million business in 90 days. And so they meet people, they connect with people, and they each go build a $1 million business in 90 days. So I'm like, okay, they don't have any advantages that I don't have, right? Like, yes, they have knowledge, they have confidence, but they're going into a place nobody knows them. I'm in a city I've been for 15 years, right? Like, or 17 years now. Like, why can't I build a $1 million business? Of course I can.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it really depends on like where your mindset's at, right? Like you look at like Grant Cardone, it's like 10x it, like set the goal, 10x it, work towards that. Even if you fail, you're gonna probably surpass the original goal, right? And the thought process behind that's interesting because it deals with a lot of human emotions that that come into play that aren't active at all working a 9-to-5, and such as fear, right? Like even if you're scared to do something and you never do it in a job, that doesn't really impact. Like maybe you don't get a raise to in a position that specifically focuses on that, but you'll be fine, right? And you'll meet your standard of getting that paycheck of however much a month, right? And whereas a business, if you're scared to call the leads or you're scared of cold calling or you don't know how to put yourself out there or you can't connect with people or you're just an asshole and nobody wants to talk to you. Like there's all these things where like you need to work on it, improve it and jump across that gap where it's like, okay, here's who I am today. Who do I need to become to be that $1 billion business? Like you said, right? And I love that you're so tuned in on that. And it's not shocking to me that with that attitude, you've been able to grow so fast. So that's really cool. I admire that.
I appreciate that. Yeah. You know, I think, the 10X, the mentality, it's, it's that first step, you know, it's that first step of what do you think is normal? And then you go do that, right? Like if you think it's normal to make $30,000 a year, mm-hmm. then that's what you'll go do. If you're like, no, I'm worth at least $500,000. Like, I think that's where you have to value yourself. And yes, you have to see what the industry's paying and things like that. But like, there is a low end and a high end for every single job on the market. And you just have to have the confidence mm-hmm. in your business and in yourself, if you can, right? If you have the skill set, then charge what you're really, truly, honestly worth. And I know that I can make businesses millions of dollars. So if I can make a business $1 million, they should be willing to pay me $100,000. Like I have no doubt in my mind that if I can take a business from $3 million to $10 million, I'm like, good, I just made you $7 million. 10% of that. I mean, 10% is very realistic. It's, I mean, other people do 20%. I'm like, look, I should be raising my own price of my own value, you know, but others are like, you know, and if you don't have that confidence or that skill set, that's okay. You know, it's like, let's say you just started an agency and you don't have the experience yet. Cool. Don't charge much. Learn, but make sure you're getting better every day so that you can confidently increase your prices. Because if you're still charging the same price you were a year ago, that means you either haven't gotten better, which that's terrible. You should be getting better with every single client. Like every single client I work with, and I'm getting better at this as I go along, I document my processes. I go, okay, that worked. That didn't work. Okay, good. And because my intention is I'm not going to do this job forever. I'm going to exit my role and pass it on to other people. In order for other people to take on my role, they need to have documented processes, successful actions, unsuccessful actions, you know, processes, roles, things like that. So that I can go, okay, good. Okay. So for Facebook ads, for this particular niche, we need to do this, this, this. Okay. Here's a similar niche. Let's try this, this, this. Oh, it didn't. Slight tweak. Okay, good. Boom. Now we've got it running. Right. Or it's like, hey, always make sure you get admin access when you get a new client to do Facebook ads. Because if you don't get admin access, you run into this problem. Oh, okay, cool. And so I document that process for myself even, because I'm like, okay, good. I need to make sure I do it right every time so the client has a better onboarding experience or has a better offboarding experience. Like, hey, client's not happy, doesn't want to continue service. Okay, let's do an exit survey. Okay, good. Update the exit survey. You know, it's just that confidence to always be learning, getting better, and then you should be able to up your prices because your value increases.
Awesome. I love it. And yeah, I think that's a great mentality to have whenever it comes to growth for your clients and for yourself. And maybe we'll talk in the future about what we can do together. I actually just brought on a marketing agency, so we're working with them right now, but we'll stay in touch on that stuff for sure. I like your attitude towards it. Awesome, man. Cool, man. Well, we're just out of time here, so we'll close out with the three quick fire questions, and then we'll tell people how to find you online, okay?
Okay, awesome.
Awesome, Jeremy. So number one, what's your favorite business or marketing related book?
I think Personal Habits. I love Atomic Habits. So I think it's not directly marketing or business, but I think if you can't control yourself and your own habits, you'll never succeed in business.
I love that. Number two, are you following any CEOs or entrepreneurs right now?
I'm following Grant Cardone and Brandon Dawson. Brandon Dawson owns Cardone Ventures with Grant Cardone. So that's sort of the mentality plus some of the technical successful actions, like making a certain amount of revenue per employee, comes from Brandon Dawson.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Is he the young guy who used to be on the Cardone TV?
No, that's Jared Glant.
That's Brandon's, what I'm thinking about.
Yeah. Okay, he's cool too. I like him too, but
gotcha.
Yeah.
Awesome. Number three, what's your favorite business podcast if you listen to podcasts?
I don't have one. I don't listen to podcasts. I'm on a podcast, but I mainly like YouTube. So I'll watch Valuetainment. So I'm sure that's as a podcast as well. So, but that's probably my favorite there.
Gotcha. Awesome. And then if people want to find you online, where can they go?
B2BBusinessExperts.com. That's the letter B, the number two, the letter B, BusinessExperts.com.
Awesome. And we'll drop that in the show notes. And I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge with us, Jeremy.
I appreciate you having me.